afternoon. Hope everyone's Sabbath's going well. You know, they don't tell us what we have to say up here, which is a good blessing and such, but, you know, there are some guidelines, and I was told, you know, make sure there's no heresy or anything like that. So after I started my sermon over again, you know, I think I've got it down under an hour and a half. But today's message, it's not going to be jumping around too terribly much. Really, it's definitely not an admonition against anyone in church, just more of discussing why things are the way they are, you know, and something that our people have forgotten, whether it be America, Britain, Germany, just around the world, you know, all of us are children of God, and things get lost in translation. You know, it's kind of sad to think that we all, at one time, or two times really, at Adam's table and at Noah's table, the whole world sat at the same table together, and yet the world becomes full of violence and strife, and sometimes we have to wonder why. And so today's message is going to be entitled, If You Need Such Thing As Teach It to the Children of Israel. And we'll be starting in Deuteronomy 31, if you want to turn there. But when you look around at America, specifically, I speak of that because I know it, but I'm sure Canada and all the other places in the world are in the same boat. You see sometimes the economy is stalling, things cost more, we're in great debt up to our eyeballs. In fact, our school systems now are causing people to go into debt for their whole lives just to get that degree that's not going to pay them enough, and especially if you're underwater basket weaver. You know, there's not too much demand for such things. And it really seems like we've lost the blessings that we once had. And there's a reason why, you know, and if you feel helpless, then that's fine because it's not in our hands. You know, we've got our own little piece of the pie, but the greater scale on the scale of nations, it's in God's hands to bless and to humble. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 16. And I'm reading my scriptures today out of the 2009 translation of the scriptures. And though it just happenstance, I don't think it's any better or worse than most of the other translations out there. Generally says the same things, just in a little different way. It says, "And Jehovah said to Moses, See, you are about to sleep with your fathers, and this people shall rise and whore after mighty ones of the strangers of the land in the midst which they shall enter, and forsake me, and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my displeasure shall burn against them in that day, and I shall forsake them and hide my face, and they shall be consumed, and many evils and distresses shall come upon them, and they shall say in that day, Is it not because our Elohim or our God is not in our midst that these evils have come upon us?" If you will turn back a couple chapters to Deuteronomy chapter 29, or as you were, 27 verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 9, we see as they're getting ready to go into the Holy Land and such, Moses has given some final instructions to the priests and the Levites and to all Israel. And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spoke to all Israel, saying, "Be silent and hear, O Israel. This day you have become the people of Jehovah your God. And you shall obey the voice of Jehovah your God and do his commands and his laws, which I command you today." And Moses commanded the people on that day, saying, "These are to stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you have passed over the Jordan: Simeon and Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these are to stand on Mount Ebal to curse: Reuben and Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali." And I don't think that was because, you know, there's bad people in Reuben and Dan. It was just so they could, they've actually gone to this mountain where Joshua pronounced these blessings. And just a funny thing of God's design. If you're standing on Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, and then somebody's standing where Joshua built the altar, halfway up that mount, you could actually hear the people speaking without assistance on all those mountains, you know, a great multitude of people. And the Levite shall speak with a loud voice and say to all the men of Israel, cursed is a man who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to Jehovah, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. Cursed is he who makes light or dishonors his father and mother. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is he who moves his neighbor's boundary. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is he who misleads the blind in the way. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is he who twists or perverts the right ruling of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is he who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's bed. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is he who lies with any beast. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is he who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is he who lies with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is he who strikes his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, amen. And cursed is he who takes a bribe to strike an innocent being, and all the people shall say, amen. And finally, cursed is he who does not establish the words of this law, and all the people shall say, amen. And most of those things seem pretty reasonable, and most of those things are actually being pushed as not being illegal or wrong in some places here around the world. And I would even say there's people that support every one of those things as being a fundamental human right. The word establish in the last one, those who don't establish the words of this Torah, in the Strong's, it's the Hebrew 6965, and I think it's pronounced kum, Q. U with a little triangle over it, M. And it's a primitive root. It means to rise, but it also means abide, accomplish, confirm, continue, decree, establish or reestablish, stir up and strengthen. And so it's a call to action, you know. And if you will look at continuing on to Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. We're going to go ahead and, you know, especially being the spring holidays, this is a good time to remember the blessings and cursings, and especially the state of the world, you know, to understand why things are the way they are. You know, there's some people that are happy here that we've got new leadership in America. You know, no matter where you stand on that, you have to ask yourself, you know, compare it to the Book of Kings, he might have things you agree with, but do you think he's going to remove the Sodomites from the land? Is he going to pull down the high places and the pagan temples and things like that? These are things which keep us from being able to be blessed, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. It says here, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, and it shall be, if you diligently obey the voice of Jehovah your Elohim to guard and do all of his commands, which I command you today, that Jehovah your God shall set you high and above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of Jehovah your Elohim. Blessed are you in the city, and blessed are you in the field. Blessed is the fruit of your body, the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of your livestock, and the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed is your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed are you when you come in, and blessed are you when you go out. Jehovah causes your enemies to rise up against you, to be smitten before your face. They come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Jehovah commands a blessing on you in your storehouses, and in all which you set your hand to, and shall bless you in the land which Jehovah your Elohim has given you. Jehovah does establish you as a set apart or holy people unto himself. he has sworn to you, if you guard the commands of Jehovah, your Elohim, again, this is contingent, if you guard the commands of Jehovah, your Elohim, and walk in his ways, all the peoples of the earth shall see that the name of Jehovah, the name of the Eternal, is upon you, and they shall be afraid of you. And Jehovah shall make you to have plenty of what is good, the fruit of your body, the fruit of your livestock, the fruit of your ground, in the land which Jehovah swore to your fathers to give you. And Jehovah opens up his good treasures, the heavens, to give you rain to your land in its due season, and bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you will not borrow. And Jehovah shall make you the head and not the tail. And you shall be on top and not beneath, if you obey the commands of Jehovah your Elohim, which I commanded you today to guard and do. And do not turn aside from any words which I am commanding you today to the right or to the left, to go after other mighty ones and serve them. However, continuing on in verse 15, God always transparent and gives us the plain truth right out front, nothing sneaky, says, there's another side to this. And it shall be, if you do not obey the voice of Jehovah, your Elohim, to guard all of his commands, which I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. You know, and as I'm reading through these, just stop and think about how many of these are on the news, you know, whether it be the storms and tornadoes and the weather patterns, the fires, the crime, the violence, and just the, you know, even right down to the collapsing of businesses. It says, cursed are you in the city, and cursed are you in the field. Cursed is your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed is the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed are you when you come in, and cursed are you when you go out. Verse 20, Jehovah sends on you the curse, the confusion and rebuke in all that you set your hand to, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly, because of the evil of your doings by which you have forsaken me. Jehovah makes the plague to cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. Jehovah strikes you with wasting disease, with inflammation, with burning, with extreme heat, with the sword and the blight and the mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. And your heavens which are over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron. And Jehovah makes the rain of your land powder and dust from the heavens comes down on you until you are destroyed. Jehovah causes you to be defeated before your enemies. You go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you become a whore to all the kingdoms of the earth. And that one right there specifically reminds me of Vietnam. It reminds me of the withdrawal from Afghanistan. Both happening in periods of licentiousness. And your carcasses shall be food for the birds of heavens and the beasts of the earth, with no one to frighten them away. Jehovah shall strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, and with the itch from which you are unable to be healed. Jehovah shall strike you with madness and blindness and bewilderment of heart. You shall go groping at noon as a blind man gropes in the darkness, and not prosper in your ways. And you shall only be oppressed and plundered all the days. No one will save you. You will become engaged to a wife, but another man does lie with her. You will build a house, but do not dwell in it. You plant a vineyard, but do not use its fruit. You know, and specifically on the building a house, I recently saw a story in England where an older guy who's a, what they call pensioner there, went to the hospital and in long-term care for an ailment, and while he was there, some refugee moved into his house and then squatted there, and then the courts ruled that, well, it's his house now, he's been staying there, and the guy, as soon as he got ownership, sold it for £500,000. You know, these are things that are happening for a reason, though. You know, as God tells us plainly, you know, it's not a surprise. In verse 31, Your ox is slaughtered before your eyes, but you do not eat it. Your donkey is violently taken away from you and not given back to you. Your sheep are given to your enemies with no one to save them. And again, most of the farmland in America is owned by Bill Gates, who I don't think is a friend of us, and the Chinese, who I really don't find to be friendly towards us. Your sons and your daughters are given to another people, and your eyes look and fail for them all day long, and your hand is powerless. A people whom you have not known shall eat the fruit of your land and all your labors, and shall be only oppressed and crushed all the days. And you shall be maddened because of the sight which your eyes see. And I promise you, we're not even seeing half of it yet. If you look at Revelation, all of this is going to come upon all the nations, you know. Jehovah strikes you in the knees and on the legs with evil boils, which are unable to be healed, from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. Jehovah brings you, the king who and the king you have set over you, to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known. And there you shall serve other mighty ones, wood and stone. Thus you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, a mockery among all the peoples which Jehovah drives you. You take much seed out in the field, but gather in very little, for the locusts consume it. You plant vineyards, and your labors and shall labor, but you neither drink the wine nor gather, for the worm eats it. You have olive trees on all your border, but do not anoint with oil, for the olives drop off. You bring forth sons and daughters, but they are not with you, for they go into captivity. Locusts possess the trees and the fruit of the ground. The sojourner who is among you rises high and higher above you, but you come down lower and lower. He lends to you, but you do not lend to him. He is the head, and you are the tail. And all these curses shall come upon you, and they shall pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of Jehovah your Elohim, to guard his commands and his laws which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder on your seed forever. And you know, it doesn't say upon your seed until I take you to Babylon or Assyria or something like that. It says forever. And that means all the way up to the last days. And verse 47 emphasizes, because you did not serve Jehovah your God with joy and gladness of heart for all the plenty, you shall serve your enemies whom Jehovah sends against you in hunger, in thirst, and in nakedness. And in need of all, he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he has destroyed you. Jehovah shall bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as eagle flies, a nation whose language you shall not understand, a fierce-looking nation, which shall show no regard for the elderly, nor show favor to the young, and they shall eat the fruit of your livestock, the fruit of your land, until you are destroyed. They leave you no grain, nor new wine, nor oil, nor the increase of your cattle, or the offspring of your flocks, until they have destroyed you. And they shall besiege you at all your gates, till your high and fenced walls, in which you are trusting, come down in your land, and shall besiege you in all your gates, and all your land which Jehovah your Elohim has given you. And you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and daughters, whom Jehovah has given you, in the siege and distress which your enemies distress you. The man among you who is tender, who is very delicate, or a gentleman in other words, his eyes is evil against his brother, against the wife of his bosom, and against the rest of his children whom he leaves behind, against giving any of them the flesh of his children that he eats, because he has been left to him in the siege and in distress which your enemy distresses you in all your gates. The tender and delicate woman, it's not just going to be the men, who is against you, or among you, who has not tried to set the sole of her foot on the ground because of her delicateness and tenderness. Her eye is evil against the husband of her bosom, against her son, against her daughter, and against her seed which comes out from between her feet, and her children whom she bears, for she eats them in secret for lack of all in the siege and distress which your enemy distresses you in all your gates. And if you recall, all these things did happen to Israel. In Samaria, there's the under King Ahab, when they went to him and said, you know, we've eaten my kid, and she hides her kid from me. I want justice, you know, and he tore his clothes and repented. I believe it was Ahab. I could be mistaken. But again, God warns us, so we can't be shocked, and we certainly can't blame God when these things happen to us. Continuing on, if you do not guard to do all the words of this law which are written in this book, to fear this esteemed and awesome name, Jehovah, your Elohim, then Jehovah shall bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and lasting plagues, grievous and lasting sickness. And he shall bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. And every sickness and every plague which is not written in this law, Jehovah does bring upon you until you are destroyed. Verse 62, and you shall be left with few men, although you have become as numerous as the stars of heaven. Because you did not obey the voice of Jehovah, your Elohim, and it shall be that as Jehovah rejoiced over you to do good and increase you, so Jehovah does rejoice over you to destroy you and lay you waste. And you shall be plucked off the land from which you go to possess. And Jehovah does scatter you among the peoples from one end of the earth to the other. There you shall serve other mighty ones, which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone. Again, and you could even probably add to that silicone and digital, as everybody's stuck in their computers nowadays or their cell phones. And, you know, the stuff that we own has really come to own us. You know, how many, you know, there's stories I've read where people have been living in paradise and then civilization comes to save them. And now they're all in poverty because they can't afford the power to power all the devices which we've given them. You know, when just 200 years ago, these were considered paradises. And among those nations, you are to find no rest, nor have a resting place for the soles of your feet. But there, Jehovah shall give you a trembling heart and failing eyes and a sorrow of being. And your life shall be hanging in suspense before you, and you shall fear night and day, not be certain of your life. In the morning you should say, oh, that it were evening. And at evening you'll say, oh, that it were morning. Because of the fear of your heart, which you fear, and because of the sight of your eyes, which you see. And Jehovah shall bring you back to Egypt in ships, by the way which I said to you, you are not to see again. And there you shall be sold to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one to buy. And the word rebuy for buy here can also be used, and no one to redeem. And if you will turn forward to Deuteronomy chapter 31, God again speaking to Moses. Now, this is often called the Song of Moses, but in reality, you could call it the Song of God, because God's the one who tells Moses to write down this song. Deuteronomy 31 and chapter or verse 18. 31 and verse 18. And God saying, talking to Moses, says, and I shall certainly hide my face. And don't worry, this isn't all doom and gloom. We'll get to the good parts later. God says, and I shall certainly hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they have done. For they shall turn to other mighty ones or to other gods. And now write down this song for yourselves and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths so that this song is to me for witness against the children of Israel. And I shall bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey, of which I swore to their fathers, that they shall eat and be satisfied and be fat. And they shall, and we certainly are fulfilling that part sometimes. Yeah. And they shall turn to other mighty ones and shall serve them. And my scorn shall scorn me and break my covenant. And it shall be when many evils and distresses come upon them that this song shall be answered before them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten in the mouths of their seed. For I know their thoughts which they are forming today, even before I bring them into the land which I swore to give them. So already God's testifying that they're kind of squirrely. And he wasn't lying. There's a man who went to Jericho and the one thing they were told not to do, he immediately does. You know, tries stealing some of the wealth, and he causes the death of many for that. You know, you don't test God. And then we'll see the song if you turn to Deuteronomy 32, and beginning in verse 1, the song which called the Song of Moses, but was commanded by the Lord. Moses says, and I'm not going to sing it for you guys today, if you don't mind. We'll do this in spoken word. Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my instruction fall as rain, my speech drops as dew, as fine rain on tender plants and showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of Jehovah, ascribe greatness to our Elohim, to our God. The rock, his work is perfect, for all of his ways are right ruling, an L of truth without unrighteousness, righteous and straight is he. A twisted and crooked generation has corrupted themselves. They blemish, they are not his children. And that, to me, calls to mind Hosea 1, verse 9, where he calls them Lo Amani, not my children. And continuing on, do you do this to Jehovah, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father who bought you, who created and established you? Remember now the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and let him show you, your elders, and let them say to you, when the Most High has gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the portion of Jehovah is his people, Jacob his allotted inheritance. He found him in the wilderness, and in a wasted, howling desert. He encompassed him. He made him understand. He watched over him as the apple of his eye. And you don't have to turn there, but that's referring to when Jacob fled from his brother Esau, all by himself, not a thing that he owned. And Genesis chapter 28, and he went to a place that would later be called Bethel, and it even says there that he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Now, that tells me there was probably no inns there. There was no hotel. There was no restaurants. He was alone in the wilderness. And God brought him back with not just one company, but in four great companies. Continuing on, as the eagle stirs up its nest, flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, Jehovah alone led him, and there is no strange mighty one with him. And again, I don't advise you to, but if you ever want to know how protective that eagle is, you could try and snatch one of those young from its nest while it's in there. That's not going to end well for you. He made him to ride the heights of the earth. He ate the fruits of the field. He made him draw honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock, curds from the cattle, milk of the flock, with fat lambs and rams and of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the choicest wheat. And you drank wine, the blood of grapes. But Yeshuan, and that's a nickname for Israel, and it translates to the upright one, you know. Yeshuan grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, you grew thick, you are covered with fat. So he forsook Elohim that made him and scorned the rock of his deliverance. Look at all the blessings we have where obesity is one of the number one killers in America. And again, I'm not admonishing anybody, you know. But that's how great we're blessed. And we live in a time where you can have these abominable people come in and read stories to children, no matter what, so long as that story is not from the Bible. We don't allow prayer in our courts. We don't allow prayer in our schools. We've tried to get God out of our nation. And then we wonder at the results of it. They moved him to jealousy with foreign matters or strange customs. With abominations, they provoked him. They slaughtered or they sacrificed to demons, not Eloah, mighty ones whom they did not know, new ones which came lately, which your fathers did not fear. You neglected the rock which brought you forth and forgot the El who fathered you. And Jehovah saw and despised because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters. And he said, let me hide my face from them. Let me see what their end is, for they are a perverse generation, children in whom is no trusting. They made me jealous by what is not God. They provoked me with their worthless matters or vain things. But I'll make them jealous for those who are not a people. I will provoke them with a foolish nation. For fire was kindled in my wrath and burns to the bottom of hell and consumes the earth and its increase and sets on fire the foundations of the mountains. I gather evils upon them. I use up my arrows upon them. Wasted by scarcity of food and consumed by heat and bitter destruction, and the teeth of the beasts I have set upon them, with the poison of serpents in the dust. The sword bereaves from outside, and fear from within, both young man and maiden, nursing child with the man of gray hairs. I said, I shall blow them away. I shall make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. If I did not fear, which isn't being afraid, but if God knows exactly what the enemy would say, if I did not fear the enemy's taunts, lest their adversaries misunderstood, lest they say, our hand is high, and Jehovah has not done this. For they are a nation lost to counsel, and there is no understanding in them. If they were wise, they would understand this, and they would consider their latter end. How would one chase 1,000, and two put 10,000 to flight, unless the rock, their rock had sold them, and Jehovah had given them up? For their rock is not like our rock. Even our enemies are judges. And what that means is our God is not like their God. Even our enemies know it. You know, we've got a merciful God. We've got what the world would consider be a foolish God, and our Christ, who tells us to turn the other cheek, who is put on the cross and died a humiliating death. You know, the followers of Zeus and Allah certainly don't understand that. Their vine is the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, and their clusters are bitter. Their wine is a poison of serpents and the fierce venom of cobras. Is it not stored up with me, sealed up among my treasures? Vengeance is mine, and repayment at the time their foot slips. For near is the day of their calamity, and the matters prepared hastening to them. For Jehovah rightly rules his people, and he has compassion on his servants. When he sees that their power is gone, that there is no one remaining, shut up or at large, he will say, where are their mighty ones, the rock in whom they sought refuge? Who ate the fat of their slaughterings or their sacrifices? Who drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them arise and help you. Let it be a hiding place for you. And again, this calls to mind for me in Revelation, when all the men of the earth hide themselves in caves under the mountains and asked the mountains to fall upon them to hide them from the face of the Lord. See now that I am he, that I am he, and there is no God, no mighty one besides me. I put to death and I make alive. I have wounded and I heal. And my hand, from my hand no one delivers. For I lift my hand to the heavens and shall say, as I live forever. And there's only one being that lives forever. There's one that came close, but he was dead for 3 days and three nights. As I live forever, if I had sharpened my flashing sword and my hand takes hold on judgment, I shall return vengeance on my enemies and repay those that hate me. I shall make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword devours flesh with the blood of the slain and of the captives from the long-haired enemy chiefs. And in the that same last verse there, 42, from the literal translation of the Bible, it says, I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh and the blood of the slain and captives from the hairy head of the enemy. You know, I have to wonder about that sometimes, what that means, but I couldn't say I could speculate, but I like to do that in private. O nations, acclaim his people, for he avenges the blood of his servants and returns vengeance to all of his adversaries, and shall pardon his land, his people. Again, God knows the end from the beginning. God will bring all of his people back to that place where he said, you are not my people. And he shall say, you are my people. Then Moses came with Joshua, son of Nun, and spoke all the words of the song in the hearing of the people. And when Moses had ended speaking all these words to Israel, he said to him, set up your heart on the words which I gave you today, which I warn you today. So that you command your children to guard to do all the words of this law. For it is not worthless to you, because it is your life. And by this word you prolong your days on the soil which you shall go possess over the Jordan. And this being my first sermon, it's probably going to end a little bit shorter. I figured it's better to err on the side of caution rather than to do an hour and a half one the first time, you know. But that's no promises for the future. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30, we're one closing scripture here. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we'll begin in verse 1. It says, and it shall be, when all these words come upon you, the blessings and the curse which I have set before you, and you shall bring them back to your heart among all the nations where Jehovah your God has driven you, and shall turn back to Jehovah your God and obey his voice, according to all that I command you today, and with all your heart and with all your being, you and your children, then Jehovah your Elohim shall turn back your captivity and shall shall have compassion upon you, and he shall turn back and gather you from the peoples where Jehovah has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts of the heaven, from there Jehovah your Elohim does gather you. That verse alone has made me always consider, you know, if I'd ever join a colony mission to Mars, you know, I'd be fine. He could bring me back, you know, though I couldn't say that I trust them not to just use it as a depopulation tool and send you into the sun. But I could trust God no matter what happens to bring me back from that distance. Continuing on. And Jehovah your Elohim shall bring you to a land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. And he shall do good to you and increase you more than your fathers. And Jehovah your Elohim shall circumcise your heart and the heart of your seeds, this is the circumcision that truly matters, to love Jehovah your God with all your heart and with all your being, so that you might live. And Jehovah your God shall put these all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. And you shall turn back and obey the voice of Jehovah to do all of his commands which I have commanded you today. And Jehovah, your God, shall make you have excess in all the work of your hands, in the fruit of your body, in all the fruit of your livestock, in all the fruit of your ground for good. For Jehovah turns back to rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the voice of Jehovah your Elohim to guard his commands and his laws which are written in the book of the law, if you turn back to Jehovah your Elohim with all your heart and all your being.